Hello, this is Byron Richards, and you are tuned into my weekly wellness update podcast, bringing you the health news that you can use. Well, as always, there is a busy week in the world of health, and it's always an interesting time selecting which stories to write about. One of the stories I picked from the past week is Walking Speed Predicts Longevity. This was a study published in the Journal of the American Medical Association, and it was a meta-analysis of nine studies, and it looked at the effect of walking specifically on increased longevity. And what they found is that if you're a man and you are 75 years old and you can walk at the pace of 3 miles per hour and you do that, then you are going to live 7 years longer than someone who can't walk that fast. And if you're a woman at that age, you're going to live 18 years longer. Wow, that is a significant boost in longevity for somebody at age 75 simply by maintaining their walking pace throughout their life and keeping it up at this age. Obviously, I guess you could just start at that age if you could. This would certainly encourage you to do that. The reason, besides the fact that this is a great study showing that exercise activates genes that have to do with health, is that there's no such study showing the drugs do that of any kind or in any combination, whether it is blood pressure drugs, cholesterol drugs, diabetes drugs, drugs. There is no single drug or any combination of drugs that has this kind of data for improved longevity. It just doesn't exist. And it just goes to show, I mean, we live in such a lame world for drug approval. You know, they approve a drug and they say, oh, it's better, it cuts the risk of heart disease by 35%. Compared to what? Compared to a person who isn't doing anything? Well, the person who isn't doing anything that's already got a bunch of bad habits is also going to have problems. But what if you had to test every drug in comparison to someone who exercised to see if the drug was actually better than exercise? Guess what? There wouldn't be any drugs on the market. They wouldn't be able to get approved. All right. Breastfeeding boosts future muscle strength of the child. Great study. Breastfeeding for 6 months, kind of the target cutoff date. I think that's kind of arbitrary myself, but, a year or longer would be best. A year to 18 months, but 6 months seems to be the cutoff point for a lot of studies anyway. At any rate, children who are breastfed for 6 months or longer have better muscles when they are teenagers. And this is really interesting because it goes to show that the quality of nutrition in the formative years has an impact on the quality of the foundation that is laid for the future health and strength, not only of the immune system, but also of the physical structure itself. So, there's obviously things in breast milk that are not just calories that can be put into a formula. And so every effort should be made by every mother wherever possible. I realize that in some cases it's just not possible, but in every situation where it is possible, a mother should make the time to nurse because it is so important to the health of her child. This is just one more study proving that point. Alrighty, chromium improves the cognitive function in older adults. Chromium, well, we always think of chromium for blood sugar regulation. It helps to enhance the flow of calories into cells, helping insulin to work better. This is a placebo-controlled double-blind trial with older adults who had cognitive decline, and they were supplemented with chromium picolinate for 12 weeks. Several parameters of their brain function improved, and brain imaging showed a number of brain regions to be more active. Now, of course, chromium is helpful. I mean, the brain runs on blood sugar, so you got to have a steady flow of blood sugar in the brain that's consistent and natural. And the more insulin resistance you have, the more you're out of shape, the more your blood sugars go up and down. And as they're going down, your brain's running out of energy, you're craving food, then you want more food, get the blood sugar back up again. In other words, the systems that sustain the flow of blood sugar have taken a hit in your body. Well, this study shows that chromium can help maintain them naturally and improve cognitive function. It's not a total remedy for cognitive decline, but it points out one aspect of cognitive function, and that is you better have a supply of fuel getting to your brain in a steady way. And that doesn't mean eat every 2 to 3 hours to stoke your metabolism. Between meals, your liver releases stored sugar, which is liver fitness. Chromium can help this process in terms of supplying a more consistent supply of fuel to your brain, which is good news and helpful to know. A surprising finding: endothelial cells rejuvenate your liver. Well, talk about stumbling onto the fountain of youth. My goodness sakes, this is indeed a fascinating collection of studies. So endothelial cells are the cells that line barriers in your body, or in this case are lining the inside of your circulation. So you have endothelial cells lining your digestive tract, lining your sinuses, lining your lungs, lining your circulatory system. And as the circulation goes through the liver, you have endothelial cells that are in the circulatory system within the liver, just like you have them within any other organ of your body that blood passes through. Well, for the very first time, scientists have documented a specific mechanism for liver rejuvenation. Wow. This is interesting because endothelial cells are the weak link in the circulatory chain. They're basically only one layer thick, and if they get irritated, agitated, compromised, and so on, then you, in the case of arteries, you start forming plaque, you start forming calcifications, you start having injury. And then your blood pressure isn't regulated as well anymore. So this whole process of plaquing of the arteries initially sets in motion, or at least one of the theories of how it is set in motion, is through endothelial compromise. So there's been a lot of work on endothelial cells and their importance, but this is completely new. So this study says that endothelial cells within your liver secrete signals that initiate and sustain the rejuvenation of your liver. They actually cause stem cells to form new liver cells and then coordinate linking them together to form a new organ, new organ structure. We're talking about the essence of body tissue rejuvenation. The researchers actually think that each collection of endothelial cells in every organ has this potential, but they were focused in this research on liver rejuvenation, and they were specifically working with liver injuries. But the mechanism is relevant to ongoing rejuvenation of wear and tear in the liver, which is the main metabolic factor of your body and absolutely vital. You know, your liver has to clean your blood, and the toxins in your blood are injuring the endothelial cells. Well, that's not good. We have to get it so that the endothelial cells are maintained in a healthy condition so that they can then not only help regulate blood pressure and so on, but help regulate rejuvenation. This is a new principle of health being assigned to endothelial cells. We've known they're regulators, but we did not know they regulated organ rejuvenation. So we want to protect the lining of the arteries, fat-soluble antioxidants, tocotrienols, silymarin, taurine, grapeseed extract, DHA. These are some of the top choices that would help keep your endothelial cells working better. Green tea protects against amyloid beta accumulation. Of course, amyloid beta is a protein fragment that, when accumulated in excess, causes, let's just say that it's there in the brains of Alzheimer's people. It's kind of like LDL cholesterol being there in the arteries of, hardening of the arteries or plaquing of the arteries. And so it's kind of guilt by the fact that you're at the scene of the crime, so to speak. Not a whole lot of thought is often given to how did you get there. LDL cholesterol is more like a UPS truck. So if you've got UPS trucks lying by the side of the road, you don't automatically, and they're forming placky, goopy stuff, you don't automatically think in your mind that a UPS truck is bad because it's off the side of the road. You might say to yourself, how did it get there? Must have been in an accident or something. And so it is with LDL cholesterol, which has to be damaged before it ever forms plaque. LDL cholesterol being like a UPS truck. But here we're talking about amyloid beta protein, and amyloid beta protein is generated in your brain in response to stress, and its purpose is as part of the repair function of the brain. So when this doesn't work right, then your brain builds up excessive amounts of amyloid beta protein because the repair is trying to repair, but it can't. And now, instead of getting flexibility and repair, you get stiffness and accumulation of damaged goop, kind of like plaqued arteries, except plaque brain cells. You see this amyloid beta protein in here. So amyloid beta protein in and of itself is not bad. It's just that too much of it isn't good. And so this study shows that green tea polyphenols, the catechins in green tea, are able to actually, once they're eaten and absorbed, they're broken down into other compounds that inhibit the excessive formation of amyloid beta, protecting against, obviously, Alzheimer's, but also against cell mutation. So they have a very anti-cancerous type properties, as well as preservation of brain type properties. So this is, good news for the world of green tea. Green tea has a lot of evidence in these categories and continues, and again, when you're looking at listening to this, that does not mean that green tea cures Alzheimer's disease or cognitive decline or cures cancer. It just means that the nature of how it's working is supportive of healthy processes, that when not there, those problems can happen. So it doesn't mean taking it will never make it happen, but it might help, and it certainly doesn't hurt to have these great kinds of nutrients as part of your regular intake, whether you're having green tea itself or whether you are having supplements of it. It's, in general, a good thing. Now, some will complain that maybe green tea has a little too much fluoride in it, and it does tend to accumulate fluoride, especially black tea. So, and that will depend entirely on the fluoride content of the water supply upon which it is grown. So, that can be an issue with green tea just in large amounts. But the standardized catechins of green tea extracts that you would get in dietary supplements are very high in the active compounds that promote health, which is why they are so desirable as dietary supplement support. Olive leaf extract helps protect your brain. Now, olive leaf extract is something we think of as, well, it is an antioxidant, but it's mainly, at least I think of it, as an immune booster. I mean, it does, it has been shown to have some metabolic assistance, as have olive and olive oil. Olive leaf extract has been shown to help with blood pressure, cholesterol, even gout. So it's got other things it does besides just immune boosting. But the fact in this study is that this is an animal study where it showed that olive leaf extract for 30 days and then inducing a stroke caused a lot less damage and specifically reduced the swelling and permeability of the blood-brain barrier. That's its function under conditions of stress. That's what this study showed. Well, when you are sick, the infections of the bug that is being produced readily cross your blood-brain barrier, which is generally one of the main reasons why your head often feels like it was struck by a Mack truck. When you're sick, you've got that headachy, sickish head. The fever is a little different, but just this horrible head feeling, the toxins are getting into your brain. Maybe the infection isn't in your brain, at least you certainly hope that, but the toxins certainly are, otherwise your head wouldn't feel so crummy. Well, to get into your brain, they, of course, had to cross your blood-brain barrier, And if you could have something that not only boosts your immune system, but helps keep the toxins out of your brain, that would be a very good thing. This is especially true for those of us who are getting a little bit older, and we don't have brain cells to lose to toxic insult of infection. It is very clear that those struggling with cognitive decline, including Alzheimer's patients, when they get sick, it is like taking a sledgehammer to their brain. The toxins really ramp up the damage. It's magnified. And so protecting the brain from toxic exposure from infection is a good thing, and this is something olive leaf extract can do, and it has a lot of practical applications to brain preservation for everyone at any age. It's another good nutrient for blood-brain barrier protection. I, of course, like grapeseed extract in the same for the same reasons, and would be also good during times of infection to help stabilize the blood-brain barrier. Okay, the last, not the last study. We have a couple studies here still. This one was why exercise-induced asthma is linked to obesity. A new study demonstrated for the first time that as your body mass rises, your risk for exercise-induced asthma rises. In fact, 71% of obese people have exercise-induced asthma. So researchers are kind of trying to decide if this is chicken or egg proposition, and that's kind of why I brought it up. But, you know, to me, it was more of an opportunity to point out a learning issue. And that is the reason you get asthma, or one of the main reasons you get asthma in general, and exercise asthma in particular, is because your body is overloaded with inflammatory and toxic trash. And the air you breathe out, which is CO2, is a backup buffering system in your body for trash. So your body has what we call frontline defense systems for trash removal. The main organ, of course, is the liver. But when the digestive tract isn't getting things out smoothly and the liver is backed up and your kidneys can't get it out through the urine, you can't breathe it out, you can't sweat it out enough, then one of your backup systems is to hold on to the air you breathe out, so that your body can balance its and neutralize the acidity of something going on inside of your circulatory system. Your blood is very tightly regulated fluid. So when you start to exercise and you're already out of shape and out of condition and full of inflammatory debris, you start to mobilize it. And you start to mobilize, cells go, oh, look, they're pumping some mechanical movement here. We're moving faster than normal. It's exercise. As we're moving faster than normal, the waste products are flowing into the blood quicker. But there were already too many in the blood in the first place. So now the coping mechanisms for this extra excess aren't there. And so we have to go to the backup systems, which happens to be holding on to the air you breathe out, and partly to make you stop exercising, and partly to buffer the acid waste. And that's how that works. So solving the problem is improving energy production. Malic acid is very good for this. Magnesium, often combined as magnesium malate. The B vitamins helpful. But this problem is more prone in overweight situations. And of course, being able to exercise and get a good response to it is essential for resolving overweight situations. So you don't want to get stuck in this metabolic catch-22. You want to more efficiently clear trash. So that's extra liver support, extra cell energy support prior to exercise, and a combination then that helps you to clear trash better, then you don't have this problem. So while the mainstream medical people are just simply trying to figure out what goes with what, I am telling you how to fix it. That's why I'm so helpful. All right. Oregano oil kills bacteria by disrupting their cell membranes. Well, oregano oil is a well-documented, potent germ-killing compound. It kills bacteria. It kills bacteria of all types, gram-negative, gram-positive bacteria. And it does this by disturbing their cell membranes. So the researchers were trying to figure out how this works exactly. You know, what does oregano oil do? How does it work to as an immunologic compound? Because really, most bacteria and yeast do not build up resistance to it. So what it does is it, the active component, which is called carvacrol, it actually, when it comes in contact with the cell membrane, it distorts it. This was high-resolution microscopic imaging technology used in this study. Once it is distorted and damaged, then essentially the force field, the deflector screen, like the old Starship Enterprise's deflector screen, has been lowered. It has been weakened, and now compounds can rush in, like calcium, which will kill bacteria. Calcium has to get through the cell membrane to do that. If it's got a deflector screen up, it can't do it. The immune cells can go in and now permeate that weakened cell membrane. So oregano oil is very, very helpful because of its contact disruptive function to the walls, cell walls of bacteria. All right, we're going to move now to your questions for the week. And the first question comes from Galena, who says, I am fit, very active, a healthy female. I have a condition called Morton's neuroma on my left foot. I am wondering if this condition can be treated or improved with supplements. Morton's neuroma is a thickening of the nerve, which is often felt between the third and fourth toe. And it's a nerve-related pain, and it can be other pains in the foot. Causes of it could be as simple as tight shoes too often, or flat feet or high arches. You know, maybe you were once royalty and you have those high arches somewhere back there. You must have been a king or a queen. At any rate, you could also have the peasant's flat foot. But the point. Being that compression on the nerve over time generates inflammation and the nerve thickens in response to that. After a couple of years of that, then the nerve itself is thickened and now the nerve rubs inside the nerve, you know, space, and that's where the symptoms are coming from. So obviously, if you can tell that there's mechanically and functionally, structurally something going on with the shoes you wear or your feet or something, maybe you can do something with you know, better quality shoes or shoes that fit you better or something along those lines. But then you have this issue of the nerve thickening, which is obviously what your question to me is. And so, while I personally don't have any experience in my 25 years helping anyone with this specific problem, I have a lot of experience helping people with nerve-related thickenings, which happens in diabetes, happens with thyroid issues, and so on. However, the best remedies are to improve the, to reduce the inflammation in the nerves. And for that, I like the product Repair Plus. Our alpha-lipoic acid is also very, very helpful. And calcium AEP can be very good for pain. So through a combination of dietary supplements and structurally working with this, you may be able to find a better way of dealing with this where you don't have the pain that you're experiencing. And seeing as how you're fit and active and healthy, you run the chance of also being able to unthicken that nerve a bit over time. That won't happen right away. Nerves are slow to respond. So your best chance of nutrition is seeing some improvement in this over, say, a period of a month. And then just keep doing it. It's likely to keep getting better. All right, Jill says, a chiropractor I see advised me not to take your whey protein because it contains glutamate and is therefore excitotoxic. He said he heard a MD talking about protein and excitotoxicity. Is dietary protein neurotoxic? What do you say in response to this? Well, the doctor who does all of this talking about protein, his name is Russell Blaylock. He's a neurologist. I've heard him speak on several occasions because I'm forced to listen to him at my clinical nutritionist conventions. Russell Blaylock, he's got some points, but he's very misguided in terms of his concepts of protein. Let me put it this way. Protein makes your brain go. So if you want to have your brain not go very much, then don't eat much protein and your brain won't go, and then it won't get excited, and then it couldn't get excitotoxic. So if you want to live a life based on never doing anything, then following the advice of not eating protein is good because nothing will happen. Yeah, I laugh, but that's the truth of the matter. Now, the problem with excitotoxicity is, of course, a lack of antioxidants in your brain. And the primary brain antioxidant functions are driven by two fat-derived hormones, leptin and adiponectin. So, you know, what good does it do to snack on carbohydrates all day long and lower your leptin levels and create leptin resistance? Now, when your brain tries to go, it has so much friction because it doesn't have any antioxidants. So the most basic thing to lowering excitotoxicity is not to live your life in a protein straitjacket. It is to live your life according to the rules of leptin, which will then make your brain have higher antioxidants based on hormonal function. But there are many nutrients you can take. This is why diet with blueberries and fruits and, you know, green tea and quercetin and, you know, all these things you get from fresh fruits and vegetables, but also can get in dietary supplements. These are the true buffers. They are what provide buffering for excitotoxicity. Now, you can ramp that up with, say, nutrients like carnosine or acetyl-L-carnitine. You can go into the more exotic things. But to suggest that protein and glutamate, because it converts to glutamic acid and potentially driving nerve transmission, which is actually what you want, not what you're afraid of. So when you have somebody out there blabbing about protein as a excitotoxin, well, quite frankly, the guy isn't quite got it straight. And then other gullible health professionals listen to him and pass on the misinformation. And that is the story on that. Cherie says, do you have supplement suggestions for eyes getting weaker? Tests reveals eyes in great condition in the back and retinas, but just vision has gotten worse in the right eye. Well, your eyes are sensitive to many things, especially as you get a little bit older. It's good that your retinas in good condition by their ophthalmological evaluation. But nevertheless, the eyes are a weak spot. The circulation is involved, getting nutrients to them, and that is reduced as you get older, and that tends to set the stage for vision decline. So the most basic supplements for eyes are the Daily Protector, which has a wide variety of eye support nutrients, antioxidants in particular, but many, many nutrients that help your eyes, including the macular region of your eyes and the retina. But just eyes in general. And then to get oxygen into your eyes, the best nutrient for that is Daily Super E. And if you're struggling with stress, then something like Cardio Helper. And if you're struggling with toxins, then something like Daily Balancer. The point being, you've got to keep your blood clean. A lot of people will notice they'll have worse vision following toxic, stressful flare-ups because there's more inflammatory trash in their bloodstream, and that irritates the small capillaries into the eye, which are only one cell wide. All of a sudden, the blood has trouble getting in there, and then the eyes don't see as well. And then if it stays that way for a while, then they really don't see as well. So you can help that by keeping your blood clean and keeping your antioxidants up. Cindy says, thanks so much for your help. I've been helped greatly by your advice. Well, you're welcome. Folate is one of the latest issues in the natural world. I read in a natural newsletter that folic acid can cause cancer and that one should be taking the natural form of folate instead. What is your take on this? Well, the synthetic form of folic acid, which is used to fortify the food supply, can bind onto receptors in the digestive tract and clog them, inducing their malfunction. Because folic acid is so critically involved with DNA synthesis, clogging up their function is not a good idea with a synthetic dietary supplement. So I happen to agree with whatever it is here you're saying. Folic acid, folinic acid, the kind in food, and calcium folinate, which is the body identical or food identical bioactive form, is safe. It doesn't do this. It does not cause this problem. So, and that's all I would ever use in dietary supplements. That's not what other people use, by the way, but that's what I use. Because, of course, Cindy, I care about your health, and we want you to get the nutrients without getting problems. Cindy's second question is that her mom's her stepmom's hands shake with tremors. She says she doesn't have Parkinson's, or the doctors say she doesn't have Parkinson's. She's 73 years old and has had the tremors since her 40s. Her son, who is in his 40s, also has them, and I think one of her three daughters has them. What causes them, and what would you recommend for them? Well, the general thing that causes them is nerve-related inflammation. This would come from stress. It would come from wear and tear. You have long nerves going down your arms, and they have to maintain a level of nerve transmission. So thyroid is involved with that, so tweaking thyroid is sometimes helpful. The nutrient status of dopamine transmission requires not only fuel, i.e. the nutrients required to make dopamine, but the antioxidant status to protect against dopamine damage. So that's, you know, that's what it is. So the main thing that would cause them would be a history of toxins, history of smoking, history of stress, history of digestive problems, history of excessive weight that has with it, by definition, excessive toxicity. Those kind of histories. That doesn't mean everybody with these histories gets shaking and tremors, but if it's a weak spot in your genes, and you know the weak spots manifest, this sounds like a gene weak spot for her. So she's trying to nutritionally support it, which would be nerve-related antioxidants and nerve transmission helpers. So basically, the two products, the Brain Protector and the Super Brain Booster, would be right up her alley. Lots of things might help. Last question this week comes from Terry, who says, can the thyroid package be safely taken when on level thyroxine with normal T3 and T4, but abnormally low TSH and low cortisol? Also, which is the best supplement for tendinitis post-surgery? Okay, well, Terry, a couple of things here. If you're on thyroid medication and your T3 and T4 are normal, but your TSH is low, that means that you're living on the medication and it is replacing your body's own production of thyroid hormone. Now, I'm assuming you have a thyroid gland, but basically your dose is too high, which you should go over with your doctor. Even though T3 and T4 are normal, when your TSH is low, it means your brain does not want to make the hormone. So you're living on what you're taking and you're actually suppressing your own gland's production. Not really desirable. And when you throw in low cortisol, that means your adrenal glands are tired. And that means that your body doesn't want to go fast because things are sore. So your metabolism, unfortunately, is kind of limping along. And what you need to do is boost your adrenal function. So the question you asked is, can you take thyroid package safely? The answer to that question is yes. However, you may not need as much medication when you take it, so if you start to get insomnia or you feel too jittery or jumpy, it means that the thyroid package is actually activating your metabolism normally, and you no longer need the extra medication for sure. But again, you have to work with your doctor, so you do have to pay attention. You can always take the thyroid support nutrients because they just simply help your thyroid hormone work better. The thyroid hormone itself doesn't guarantee that it's even working at all. So if it starts to work better and now you're on also too much drug, which you're already on, I can tell you from the way your lab tests are, at least that's my interpretation. I'm not a doctor. Don't hold me to it. But, you know, you can go check it over with your doctor and see if you if they agree. Hardy har, 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 har. All right. The issue, I shouldn't make fun of these poor little doctors, but the issue is when TSH is going down, it means thyroid hormone dose is too much regardless of how you feel, unless you don't have a thyroid hormone. I mean, unless you don't have a thyroid gland. If your cortisol is low, it means you don't have any oil in your car engine because it's all spent because you overuse things. You burned the candle at both ends and now you're tired. Your TSH is low on purpose because it wants your body to go slower, not faster. You want to go faster and feel better. The only way you're going to go faster and feel better, yes, you need to support your thyroid, but you need to support your adrenals at the same time. Otherwise, you don't have any oil in your car engine. So nutrients like pantothene, coenzyme Q10, very helpful. What's the best supplement for tendinitis post-surgery? I like Repair Plus. I like Skin Rejuvenator, hyaluronic acid. These things can help reduce inflammation and help heal tissue. Okay, that's it for your questions this week. If you have a question for me, please send it to askbyron@wellnessresources.com. Have a very great, healthy, and happy week. And I'll be back next week with more health news and more questions. Take care. Have a great week.
The Weekly Wellness Update podcast is produced by Wellness Resources Incorporated. All rights reserved. For more information on the topics and news covered in today's podcast, visit wellnessresources.com. To email Byron a specific health question, send it to askbyron@wellnessresources.com. The information presented in this podcast is for informational purposes. It is not medical advice for the treatment of any condition or illness. You should not use the information in this podcast for diagnosis or treatment of any health problem or to discontinue the use of any medication that has been prescribed to you. Consult your physician or healthcare professional for such needs. Statements made during this podcast regarding any Wellness Resources dietary supplement products have not been evaluated by the FDA. Wellness Resources dietary supplement products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.